This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Many thanks to Hannah Steelman, who just joined us from the ACC champion NC State women's lacrosse team. We mentioned the Notre Dame men grabbed the championship over the weekend, doing their thing. So congrats to all. But Wes, we've got a lot to do, even in this hour, because yep. We've got the best of the weekend, the worst of the weekend, wide receiver U, all those nominees. We've given out our accounting. Eric McLean gave out his accounting. You'll be able to jump on that and have some fun with it as well. And an interesting weekend, really, in the league, not only from a football perspective, but other sports, which we'll get into more coming up.
All right, let's hit the best of the weekend, and we'll start at the top with a record that had stood for 42 years. Just how great was Ted Brown? Well, when he finished at NC State, his career rushing mark was posted. A lot of guys came close, but it was finally broken on Saturday with the efforts of Travis Etienne, who now has 4,644 rushing yards, is the all-time leading rusher in ACC history, and also had his 42nd career game scoring a touchdown. That's an FBS record as well. So our congratulations to Travis Etienne. Just a sensational, sensational football player in the history of this league.
No question. And a guy that could have left a year ago for NFL fame and fortune and yep. said, you know what, I love the college experience. I want to get my degree. That was important to his family and to himself. And he's decided to come back. He's put in the effort. And who knew with this crazy COVID world what it would look like. But the guy has displayed incredible running skills, but maybe even more importantly, his senior year, Wes, the ability to catch the football. We obviously know you got to be able yep. to block a little bit too with the way Elliott and Dabo and those guys like to operate. But man alive, the guy is just a complete, total football player.
Yeah. Change gears here a little bit. Upset in field hockey over the weekend.
Yeah.
Syracuse beats Louisville.
How about that? Huge win for the Orange. I could hear Josh Macri screaming in the background for this big upset right here. And the field and the bracket is set for that, as we'll discuss later this hour. But really, a humongous win for the Orange. I mean, we had snow up in Boston. There was all kinds of stuff going on in the field hockey world this weekend.
Yep. So congratulations to Syracuse. We just had Hannah Steelman on here. NC State wins its 26th ACC title in women's cross country. And here's the view from the Packerless golf cart.
Very disappointing. Again, I thought about this a lot over the weekend, but I've been kind of reassured from Commissioner John Swofford, even though he said I was non-essential on the air last week, that next year in 21, I will be riding that golf cart. And Wes Durham, you're out. Anybody put the Dodgers number one, you're out.
Yeah.
So I want Commissioner Swofford riding shotgun, Chester and Fuller, God willing, if they're still hanging out. Shoot, God willing, I'm still hanging out after tomorrow. We're riding that golf cart. We're riding next year, cross country championships. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's happening.
All right. Congratulations to Dominique Claremont, by the way, who was the individual champion in women's cross country from NC State as well. Back to football. Roll it from Derby City. Hendon Hooker. I don't know if there's such a thing as a perfect game. Quarterback ranking was 1,000, seemingly. It was actually not that high, but it felt that way. Perfect 10 for 10 passing. He also had 3 rushing touchdowns as Virginia Tech beat Louisville.
Can't do any better than that.
Performance.
Can't do any better than that, Wes. 10 for 10. Enough said. I hate that I'm going to miss conference cuts tomorrow because I want to see what my man Justin Fuente had to say about that performance. That's going to be my biggest disappointment tomorrow, is not being able to see Justin Fuente's press conference on conference cuts. By the way, I think we're going to rename that when I finally get back the following week, hopefully, again, God willing. We'll call it Foo Part 2, right? Because he talked about buddies call him Foo. So when we play conference cuts with Fuente, it'll be Foo Part 2 when I give you the breakdown of the conference cut. There it is.
Got it. All right. Let's go to a couple defensive plays. Let's start at Clemson. Third straight game of the fumble for Travis Etienne. Brandon Sebastian don't care. You guys worry about that at the other end. I'll be down here if you need me.
When this happened,
holy smokes.
When this happened, you're thinking, man, there's some strange things going on in this game. This one kind of felt like it had upset written all over it. BC was doing everything right, catching some breaks, making some great plays. Clemson making some mistakes. BC taking total advantage of it, up 28-10. A little scoop and score. Dracovic looked good. Wide receivers out of sight. I mean, that, like I said, that game had a little bit of everything in it on Saturday in Death Valley.
Another big defensive play. Now, Roddy Jones will be here tomorrow while Pack takes a day, and he will discuss at length the Black Watch jerseys. But if you're going to wear the Black Watch jerseys at Georgia Tech, you probably ought to have a Black Watch play. And Georgia Tech got one from Zamari Walton.
You know what was
21
amazing?
On the defense, the scoop and score.
Wes, you knew he was gone at his own 11-yard line.
Yeah.
It was kind of like the BC play. Yeah. You knew unless he fell down, that was a touch. He's gone. Now, here's Ian Book. And he's like, man, what am I doing? I got no shot. I mean, I can't believe
what
it.
What am
now,
I doing?
Yeah, that's but here's exactly the deal, though. Right. Here's the deal. Georgia Tech makes it 7-7, second quarter. And you're thinking, oh, here we go again. We got ourselves a ball game. Nah. Again, championship-caliber teams go, hey, all right, tough break for us. Now let's get back to work. And that is exactly what Notre Dame did Saturday after that play. They got right back to work, took total control of the game.
All right, we go to Charlottesville, clearly influenced by his appearance on Packer and Durham last week. Charles Snowden went out and had a whale of a ball game. Boy, clearly influenced by his appearance.
Snowden was great. Now, I mean, he's always good, but I mean, he was jazz, brother. He was ready to roll. And North Carolina, man, a lot of tough loss. Put him in a bad spot. Still, I mean, there's still life in Chapel Hill, but what a huge win for Virginia, snapping that four-game losing streak. And as we pointed out, they just seem to have North Carolina's number, whether it be men's basketball or football. That's 10 straight in that department. And I believe they've now beat North Carolina 6 of the last 8 times North Carolina has been ranked in football. Virginia has won the game. So sometimes you just wonder that, hey, that team, they just got our number. And it just seems that is the case when Virginia sees UNC.
Clemson fell behind to BC on Saturday. So what's that mean? Historic comeback. Tigers best of the weekend. The 18-point comeback to beat Boston College. Largest home comeback in school history for the fellas in the orange hats.
How about
of course, Travis Etienne played a big role in that as well.
How about the stat, Wes, this week, which I fell off my couch when I heard Joe Tessitore say this. When BC had the lead at halftime, it was the largest deficit a number one ranked team had at home since 1950, 70 years ago, Notre Dame and Purdue. And that was the stat. And then I saw Booger McFarland.
Big Show's got a lot of research on him, Pac.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, though, Booger McFarland was talking about Dabo's 1-11 or whatever it was, down by double digits at the half and all that. And, hey, rest is history in the second half. Again, championship DNA teams, that's what they do. They respond.
DJ Uiagalelei, congratulations, 342 yards, 3 touchdowns. There you go.
2 passing, 1 rushing. And for everybody, I mean, you couldn't have put him in a tougher spot. All right, big man, you're 5-star this, 5-star that. Here it is. Tag, you're it. You're down 18, and there's no Trevor Lawrence. There's no Justin Ross. Defense is struggling. How are you going to respond? Okay, cool. That's how you do it. Pretty good. And here's the funny thing, Wes. Hey, this time next year, he's still a freshman. Guess what? Deal with it, America. The Tigers quarterback room is pretty good.
That's good news for some. It's good news for Clemson, maybe not their opponents. Carolina, Dyami Brown posts the best receiving day by a Tar Heel since the great Randy Marriott was taking passes from Luke and Drake May's dad. How's that?
Tell you what, man. 2 was good, man. Goodness gracious. He makes plays every week. Again, I think he personally has gotten hosed a few times in wide receiver U nominations. I've been pretty vocal about that. So I was glad to see two rocking and rolling because I think he is a terrific player.
Yeah. No, he is incredible is what he is. All right. We go to another wide receiver. Home run hitter on Saturday. Dez Fitzpatrick of Louisville. 5 catches, but he averaged 31.6 a catch. He's already had a phenomenal year, but Fitzpatrick is on here for the deep balls that he caught against Virginia Tech. Sidebar to Fitzpatrick's efforts on Saturday, which you're going to see highlights of here. Pac, you remember when we had the Western Kentucky highlight earlier in the year where he caught the ball between the two guys that collided?
Right.
And then ran to the end zone?
Right.
And you remember the kid in the end zone who was running to the net? Remember
right.
that? Big boy, the guy we called?
Right.
Yeah. I got to meet him Saturday.
Is he still winded?
I got to meet that kid.
Is he still winded?
No. And actually, it's kind of become a thing in Louisville, and the guys are watching the show probably this morning, so it was great to meet Big Boy and all the guys involved at Louisville.
Wait a minute, Big Boy? Is that his
he's
name?
He's got a Twitter. His Instagram handle is Big Boy.
Oh, good for him.
His Instagram handle is Big Boy Eats. Eats UK or something like that.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that.
Big Boy Eats UK. Yeah.
Like
so,
it.
So you birthed the called hero, Pac.
I like it. I like everything about that story.
Yeah. Well, I know. Thought you'd enjoy that.
I did.
Had a great trip to Louisville. More on that later in the week, by the way.
Brown water.
Virginia, best of the weekend. Virginia puts a nail in the coffin on the upset of Carolina with Keaton Thompson.
This
fake
was the
punt
fake punt.
Reroute.
Yeah, this is the fake punt. And I'm going to tell you now, if you watch this play again, North Carolina's got it sniffed out. Like right now, where are you going? Oops, I'm going to go this way. And that's a first down game set match. That was a gutsy move by Bronco Mendenhall. And man, if that thing backfires again, the biggest word in sports is if. Every time I hear the word if, it's like fantasy land. If that didn't work, well, it did work. And Virginia won the game, but that was a tip of the hat to Bronco Mendenhall because that was a huge call and play, period.
All right. Let's go to the videotape on a great moment for the Tessitores. Joe on the mic, John on the field.
As they split out, Danny Dalton's a fake. Tessitore is under center on 4th and 2, and he got him to come off sides. John Tessitore came up and played quarterback at the last second, and they may get a first down out of this.
Great play call. Incredible for the Tessitore family. But can I point something out here? Mm-hmm. And I know the ACC office isn't going to like me for saying this. That was the wrong call. That was the wrong call. You look again and tell me those guys are set for a second. Man, no way. I love the play call. Loved the play call. Again, Jeff Hafley had it dialed in. Their team was totally dialed in. They miffed. You go watch that play again. You tell me those guys are set for a second. You do that and you get back to me on that. All right? Just saying. But it was an incredible television moment for Joe Tessitore. Great, great television moment.
All right. Here we go.
You watch it.
Roll the video.
You tell me they stay for a second. You buying that or not?
Well, I've already caught the grief of some of America, particularly those in the Southeast, for putting the Dodgers one in
should.
Accounting.
I'm
so
gonna
far
rag
be it for
you,
me to alienate more people.
I'm going to rag you to no end, my man. When you want to step in that is, I will wear you out on that. I'll be honest with you. From an officiating standpoint this weekend in college football, let me emphasize, in college football, I thought the refs had their worst weekend ever. This weekend. There were so many bad calls this week, it wasn't even funny. That's what we got. That's what we got. I still don't understand
there you go.
Replay.
That's the best of the weekend. Congratulations to Joe and John Tessitore. That's a nice moment. That's a nice moment.
Awesome.
And Joe's a BC alum. John's been a part of that program. And nice of them to have a special moment. Good job by Joe, too. I don't know if I'd have been able to talk about my kid like that and just stay calm through the process. It's pretty challenging. Sit tight when we come back. Where there's good, there's bad. And we've got some bad news, including folks that decided to break some of the trick-or-treating laws at my house. Yeah, where do you see some of this? Yeah, that was a good job, Ryder. You only took one. Now, your buddies? I'm not sure. Look at this. Some kid's going to load up here in a second.
Wearing the Dodger gear, too. You deserve it.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham Power Hour on a Monday. We are giving you the best of the weekend. Unfortunately, we got to balance it out. Now we go to the worst of the weekend.
Got some news during the commercial break might be of interest to you.
What is that?
Because of Tuesday being the mandatory off day for student athletes at all NCAA institutions, Virginia Tech has made a change in their media availability this week. So Coach Fuente will go to Tuesday, which means Foo Part 2 will be our Coach Fuente goes to Tuesday, so Wednesday will be our conference cut with Fuente when you'll be back.
So I won't miss it tomorrow. Excellent.
Yeah. No.
Good.
No. We'll have it all fresh and ready for you.
Good. So Foo Part 2 on Wednesday. That's outstanding.
That's it.
That's the one I look forward to the most. No doubt.
And by the way, very kind words from Coach Fuente last week. A lot of people, by the way, wanted to know where you were, why you weren't with me in Louisville for the ball game.
I don't leave the house.
By the way.
I
know that. I tried to explain that to a lot of the fans in the Louisville area up there.
I want
to
be
people that wanted to give you parting gifts and things like that. I picked up your gifts for you, by the way.
I hope you enjoyed drinking them with one ice cube over the weekend.
A lot of folks excited about a pending Derby show, by the way.
I've been saying that from day one. You know, I'm
well aware. We'll get to all that. I know.
I had some guy call the radio show on Friday afternoon and invited me to a game. I said, let me explain something to you. I said, I live in my basement for 18 hours a day, Monday through Friday. Saturday, I sit around. And all I do is I watch every game known to man. I have notepads all over the place. I just take notes until midnight or whenever the last game ends, and then Sunday is the only day I have a chance to take a breath, and that's the prep for all these shows. I never leave the house.
There you go.
I never leave. I'm stuck here.
Yeah, homebound. Very homebound. Yeah.
There's nothing exciting about
the shows, your Peloton, and that's it.
Ain't no Peloton around here. In fact, the only time I'm going to get a chance to leave the house will be tomorrow to do this medical procedure.
Oh, no.
And I'm really thrilled about it.
Worst of the weekend. Let's go to the worst of the weekend. Let's start with what Dabo, and again, we said this at the top, give him credit, get this out of the way, don't let it be a thing during the week. Trevor Lawrence will miss the Notre Dame game due to the isolation and all the things that go with the protocol with the COVID-19 diagnosis last week. So he is not available for Saturday night's 7:30 game on the National Broadcasting Company between Clemson and Notre Dame. Again, Pac, I'll say this. I thought that was smart to go ahead and get it out way and keep the question and answers to a very minimal nature. And then you added what else is also important, the Tuesday mandatory off day thought.
Yeah, who would have thought, though, Wes, when the college football season ended last year and you looked at the schedule and you went, oh, my goodness, Clemson at Notre Dame, November 7th. Can you imagine Trevor Lawrence and Justin Ross going up against that Notre Dame defense under that scenario? No Trevor Lawrence, no Justin Ross. But it's still going to be, I think, a tremendous football game regardless. And can't wait. It's great for the league. And who would have ever thought that Notre Dame would be an ACC member either at the end of that last season? I mean, there's a lot of crazy things going on, right? The whole world's kind of turned upside down. So at the end of the day, though, we're going to get treated to hopefully a great football game Saturday night in South Bend.
Mack Brown on the worst of the weekend. Unfortunately for the Tar Heels head coach, still winless in six trips to Charlottesville as the head coach at North Carolina.
That's a crazy stat. Mm. That really is a crazy stat. Is. That one and 0-10 against Florida State. But you can kind of understand, you know, given the 32 years he's been coaching. I mean, Florida State's been loaded. But, man, Virginia has just been that nightmare locale, right? It's just everybody's got kind of has one of those, right? Just seems like it. That there's always a team that causes you headaches. It doesn't seem to matter whether you're good or bad or whether they're good or bad. But Virginia just seems to have their number. Really, it's weird. It's goofy.
Charlottesville has been a house of horrors for North Carolina in football for 40 years.
Yeah.
You can count on one hand the number of times they've won there since 1980.
It is really strange.
It's crazy. All right. 20 penalties in the BC Clemson game.
Sheesh.
2-0.
Now, here's 20. Here's a punt return
it's
for
November.
A touch. Yeah, this was a punt. Again, not, there were crazy things happening in this game early, but there were two flags. Actually, there were two penalties on that particular play. But, man, alive, like I said, I didn't think the officials had the best of days at this game. I didn't think the officials had a very good day all weekend, quite frankly. They were missing forward passes, and there's all kinds of stuff going on in this game. But 20 penalties in the game, Wes. And
right.
It was a fun game. It was an entertaining game, but everybody needs to clean their act up a little bit there. Everybody.
Only 93 yards of rushing for Carolina. That's not a good thing. Not with those two cats at the wheel,
no.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, Sam Howell had a great night throwing it all over the yard, but, of course, they were playing catch-up. They're down 41-20 late and said, hey, forget about establishing the run. We got to sling this thing all over the yard. But Virginia just did a tremendous job up front. They really did. We talked about Snowden and all his buddies. They came to play Saturday night.
So congratulations to Virginia. Cavaliers probably be duly recognized in the ACC Player of the Week announcement later today, by the way. Packer did not, emphasis did not, get to drive the golf cart, deemed non-essential by the commissioner and the organizing committee. Commissioner said it was a big vote, lots of people, and it was close. Hashtag close vote. But apparently they were able to pull off the men's and women's ACC cross-country championship without the services of Mark Packer.
I know the commissioner said the vote was close. But I did a little homework because I was so disappointed not being here in the golf cart. And I found out that the vote amongst ACC member institutions, there's the golf cart in the background, by the way. The vote was 14-0-1 against me. 14-0-1. Oof. The one tie was Wake Forest, who didn't want to offend anybody. And so they didn't vote for or against because of the Swiss. So the other 14 said no.
Well, there you go.
You know, given the COVID situation, no one's allowed to be there, including Packer, and his intentions were fine, but he truly is non-essential. So 14-0-1, the abstention being Wake Forest, being the Swiss, not to offend anyone. So there it was. But I'll be there in 21. Me and Commissioner Swofford are going to be there front and center for the ACC Cross Country Championships next year. Guarantee you.
Okay. Georgia Tech has had some incredible field goal kickers.
Oof.
This year, unfortunately, it's been a struggle. They are now 1-for-6 trying field goals, Pack.
That would be
1-for-6.
Yeah, that would be disrespectful to the word struggle. They've had blocks, misses. I mean, this is a hey, it just happens, man. You know, sometimes you just have years you just can't get out of the way in special teams. And the field goal kicking unit has really, really been a problem in the ATL. No question.
Yeah. All right. This last one is from Saturday night. And, you know, Saturday night's trick-or-treating. Neighborhoods all across America welcome young people here. And even in a pandemic, try to find out a way to extend some Halloween traditions, right? And young people are excited to dress up as their favorite characters or whatever the case may be. And they go from house to house in subdivisions with you know, pillowcases or bags and decorative items to pick up candy and treats, and then they go home and enjoy a sugar high that stressed their mom and dad out all night long. However, in our little neighborhood, because I was on the road doing games and my wife was away from the house, we decided to leave a bowl of candy and a note, oh, take one or two and enjoy the Halloween treats type deal. Well, as you can see from the live video, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't quite work out that way. Yeah, well, that's it. You take one, youngster. Well, here comes Cody Bellinger, Dansby Swanson, Ronald Acuna Jr., and some rest of the neighborhood kids who just basically started digging in.
Yeah. Figures the kid dressed up as the Dodgers digging stole in. All of it. Figures.
Yeah. Well, look at that little kid in the pink, by the way, checked out the door like, oh, hey, nobody's here. I'll cover for the rest of y'all.
Wes, nobody reads that note. No kid's going to sit there and go, oh, yeah, I'm just going to have the one small, you know, Chico stick. Those kids, that's what you should have done. You know what? If you would have put a whole bowl of Chico sticks out there, you'd have gotten back from Louisville. The whole bowl would have still been there with Chico sticks. All of them would have been there.
Is that right? Those chicken sticks would have been gone, dude.
No.
Chicken sticks are awesome.
Even the kid dressed up as a Dodger would have gone, hey, man, I'm number one this week on the power list. I ain't eating no stinking Chico stick. I got to be honest with you. I didn't have a single doorbell ringer this weekend. I didn't have one. And I have a whole bowl.
I'd be scared to come to your house.
Oh, come on, man. I love Halloween. You know what the problem was, though? My next-door neighbor didn't tell anybody he wanted to throw a party, some wedding party. And so the entire street was loaded with cars. Next-door neighbor throwing a bash. The neighbor across the street is trying to sell a house. They didn't even have enough people to come by so they could go at that. It was a mess. It was a mess on our street. So even if you wanted to come down the street, you couldn't come down the street. So I am loaded. Loaded with peanut butter cups, which is not a bad thing.
Sounds like the neighborhood HOA is going to have a little bit of a planning meeting.
They should. No, it was not appreciated on Halloween. Yeah. Tell you that much.
Can't wait till you take over that board action.
No, all right. I ain't got time for it.
You're going to be the president of your local HOA.
No, don't have time. Not interested. I'm tired of any
election.
We got
more ACC.
If any election's involved, I am already tired of it. I'm ready for all that to go away. But please vote.
Please vote.
From Packer and Durham.
If you haven't already, please vote. All right, the ACC Field Hockey Championships start this week, and we've got coverage for you. Quarterfinals start Thursday afternoon, 2 o'clock. From Karen Shelton Stadium in Chapel Hill, 2 o'clock, 4:30, and 7. The semifinals are Friday, 1:30, and 4, and the championship match is Sunday at noon. And every last piece of it is right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. We tell you all the time, soccer and field hockey, this is a spot you want to see. When we come back, wide receiver U. The nominees are in. You help determine the finalist and the winner when we continue on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
On the Power Hour on a Monday, 844-SAY-ACCN. We just gave you the best of and the worst of the weekend. But another staple is wide receiver U. And there is always a handful of catches from the weekend, which fans, of course, can nominate. It could be a game that Wes is doing, for crying out loud. Certainly, you see them down here in the basement. Whatever the case may be, we tried to give you the best of the weekend from that perspective. And again, social media will narrow it to four. You will vote. You are in complete, total control of the outcome, right? That's what this is all about, Wes.
We only got five nominees to get to the finalist here, so we'll only have to trim one, I think, for the final roll call. But maybe less than that, because the hay may already be in the barn on this a little bit, right? Let's roll first. Zay Flowers of Boston College, right off the jump, Here we go, Pack.
No. That's not. No, Flowers. That's C.J. Lewis. That's C.J. Lewis.
That's C.J. Lewis.
Yeah, this was such a ridiculous catch.
This is
C.J. Lewis.
This is the hay in the barn.
Yeah, this was the catch that put BC up 28-10. This is right after the clever play call to fake the field goal, which was given a first down, which some folks will argue about, which I already have on this show. But this was a great catch. There were a couple by BC players over the weekend, but that one right there, and all of a sudden the rest of the country went, ooh, wait a minute now. It is 28-10 in Death Valley, and there are issues everywhere. But what a great, great throw and catch that was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, C.J. Lewis, we've seen that one. Let's go to Jarrett Garner of Duke.
Cookie's going to like this one.
We pulled Jarrett Garner up here.
Yep. Cookie and Graham will love that one. One-hander. Piece of cake. That was smooth, too. Look at that. Smooth. Just saying now. Duke in their all black. Halloween night.
Yeah.
We remember some crazy stuff at Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium on Halloweens, don't we?
Oh, geez.
You want to go there, Wes?
Yeah.
Huh? Yes, you want to go there?
No, we're good.
I will say there. Let me tell you what, real quick. There was a play this weekend in college football at Rutgers, the Rutgers game, that reminded me of the zaniness and of the Wallace Wade Outdoor Halloween Duke Miami game. And if you did not see that play this weekend, do yourself a favor and YouTube it. Now, it came back because the officials actually got that one right. But that play was about as insane as you can possibly get. Now you can go forward, Wes.
All right, let's go to Charlottesville. We told you Dyami Brown, one of the best performances in a single game by a receiver in Carolina history. Well, when you go for 11 and 240, you have some good ones, and you have some great ones.
Great catch. That was a great catch.
I got to be honest. There's Nick Grant is in great position, looks for the ball the whole bit, and he still caught it.
Yeah, and he gets up, you know, shaking his head. No, it's incomplete. No, man, that dude just made a play.
No.
And, you know, and I hate to say this,
but
Brown, I'm telling you, nobody in this league has gotten hosed more on wide receiver U awards than Dyami. And let me tell you why. Because he could have won three or four. I'm not sure if he's won one yet. Maybe won one. But it seems like every week he could be nominated, and he just – I don't think he's going to win this one. Maybe he will. I don't know.
All right. The last one comes from the game that Roddy and Eric Wood and I had on Saturday. This guy is a blur, by the way. Watch this throw and catch by Tutu Atwell. Bang. This ball looks like it's being thrown out of bounds, Pack. Seriously? What?
I'm just trying to watch his feet.
I mean, that's what I mean.
There's speed, and then there's Tutu speed. He can fly, like you said. He just...
Yes, he can.
Doesn't look right.
So those are our four for wide receiver U. Look for the voting later today on the ACC Network social media channels, and we will deliver you the winner tomorrow. But I think the hay may already be in the barn on this one.
Hey, fans vote.
C.J. Lewis.
Fans vote.
I know.
It's not our call.
All right. That's it. We told you the field hockey championships come up this weekend. We're going to show you the bracket when we continue on Packer and Durham. Of all the games set for Chapel Hill this weekend. So we will show you the bracket for field hockey. And a tattoo bet got paid off. And, you know, I'm not sure I'd have done this one. Come back. More scores and highlights next.
Packer and Durham. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. A Monday. Show number 250. 250 in the books almost. It'll be Roddy Jones and Wes Durham tomorrow. I would say I'd be thinking about you in the morning, but probably won't be. Don't think so.
You won't. It's all right. We wish you well, and we'll see you here on Wednesday.
God willing. I'll be here Wednesday.
Don't forget, you can always subscribe to the podcast wherever you download your podcast, whatever platform you might use. They come in nice one-hour increments, so they're three at a time. Makes it very, very easy. Go back to your favorite parts of the show. If you miss any interview, you can go back and listen to it in its entirety, even past episodes, past interviews. May have missed Charles Snowden from last week.
Yep.
Jeff Hafley from last week. Great interview stuff.
And you can.
It's always a great way to access the show when you can't see it live.
And you can check out how Wes Durham completely, totally disrespected the entire Atlantic Coast Conference today on accounting by putting a baseball team in front of every football team.
Yeah.
T-Man won a championship once every 30 years in front of every ACC football team. Yeah. Utterly disrespectful. Yeah. Pathetic.
And a special shout out to Hunter Coffrin, who, by the way, is a Marine Corps vet. And thank you for your service to our country. Hunter says, I had another overreaction to Carolina by moving them down. So we got that going for us, too. I'm not quite sure what all that was about, but nonetheless.
Well, you do have them behind Virginia Tech, which I think that's kind of a reach, given the fact that North Carolina scored 85 against them or whatever it was.
Well, this is why we have accounting. There's different versions. Different versions.
Every ACC team got disrespected on your list today. Every one of them.
Okay. All right. Every one of them. By the world champions. So, here we go.
Whatever.
Mike Norvell. How about this tweet over the weekend, by the way? This kid got a tattoo of Mike Norvell in cornrows. Look at that. At Madison Social. If FSU beats UNC, I'll get this tattoo.
By the way.
Cornrows Norvell, and he got it.
Thumbs up to Madison Social, first of all. Let me just say that, number one. That's a bad loss right there. That's a bad loss.
That is a bad loss.
Yeah. That's not good. But, hey, they beat North Carolina. Again, Mac Brown made it 0-10 against the Noles. And that dude, for the rest of his life, I hope he understands that. For the rest of your life, you got that to look forward to right there. Man, when you get those tats, boys and girls, I'm just telling you, hey, it might be a great opportunity at the time, whatever state you might be in at the moment when you make that decision, but it is the rest of your life. So you go for it. Go for it. Tag, you're it.
Coach Norvell, hit my man back on social media. There you go.
Look at Coach.
There you go. Two prime examples of college decisions gone bad. Never know when they will come back to haunt you. Wear it proud, and you can always tell a hell of a story.
That's funny.
True.
Coach is
true.
Right.
True. There you go.
Coach is spot on.
All right, here's the brackets. We've already told you this is your spot for full coverage of the ACC Field Hockey Championships. Here's a look at the brackets as the way they set up in Chapel Hill. Starts on Thursday. Louisville gets a bye. By the way, remember that win over North Carolina back during the regular season?
Yeah, I remember. It's my
Cards
game of the
get a
month.
Bye. They'll meet. Yeah, November 5th, the quarterfinal start with Virginia and Wake Forest. North Carolina, the 2 seed. Boston College, remember, they played for the championship a year ago. Syracuse, the 3 seed, meets Duke. And then semifinals are Friday. Championship is Sunday. We have tried to tell you all about women's soccer in this and soccer as a whole on Packer and Durham. The soccer championships also start this week, too. And you'll get some coverage on that as ACC Network as well. Starts on Thursday next week, the 10th. You'll see the top seed Florida State against Notre Dame, Clemson and Duke, then North Carolina, Virginia Tech, and then at night, you get Virginia and Louisville. Those are the way the 8 teams go to the ACC championship.
Wes, you know, I'm going to just say something.
That,
Wes, I'm going to say something real quick here. Mm-hmm. Let me interrupt you. But I don't root for teams. I mean, I root against the Dodgers. If you've followed me at all in my lifetime, I openly root against one team in sport. Openly root. Don't respect them. Don't like them. Don't like anything about them. But I am going to root that we get chalk in the women's soccer tournament. You know why? And I'm not rooting against anybody, but I'm rooting for chalk because North Carolina and Florida State's programs are so good. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get that game in the regular season. We didn't get it. And if it turns out, for argument's sake, that chalk happens in the women's soccer tournament, North Carolina and Florida State, grab your popcorn. I'm telling you, because I mean, the league is so fantastic in soccer. There's no guarantee that you're going to get chalk. Just, that's number one. But if we do, and it's 1-2, Florida State, North Carolina, that will be out of sight. Those two are just terrific. I mean, great programs, national championship caliber programs, big-time coaches, big-time players. I know we're going to get a lot of hype this week with Clemson and Notre Dame in football, but if it turns out that we get that in the women's soccer tournament, that will be something else. That will be get your day set and ready to go, because Florida State, North Carolina, if that's an ACC championship match, will be well worth it.
The Sunday scoreboard, by the way, features a lot of women's soccer and field hockey as well. But in women's soccer, you can see that Virginia was a winner 5-3 against Syracuse. Wake Forest shut out Pittsburgh 1-0. Virginia Tech a winner of Boston College. Florida State beat Clemson 2-0. Duke a 3-1 winner over Miami. And North Carolina beat Notre Dame 2-0. And in field hockey, Wake a winner over BC. Carolina, NC State were 0-0 through double overtime. And North Carolina beat Virginia 3-1 in volleyball.
Did you see the video?
That's the Sunday scoreboard.
Did you see the video of the Wake Forest BC field hockey? The girls up there, snowball fights, making snowmen. I mean, it was great. Man, I saw the video of it this weekend, was just dying laughing because it was beautiful down here. I mean, it was awesome down here in the Carolinas. But, man, you're going up to Boston and it's snowing sideways and the whole routine. And the girls went out and said, man, come on, let's go have some fun. So they cleared the field. Off we go. Play a little field hockey this weekend.
Today is the 25th anniversary of Florida State's first loss as an ACC football member. Lost on a Thursday night at Scott Stadium at Virginia, 1995. When Anthony Poindexter and I think Adrian Burnham stopped Warrick Dunn short of the goal line late in the ballgame. 33-28, November 2nd, 1995, Pack. Oh, Mike Groh slinging it.
Remember watching it. And for folks that don't remember this, you got to understand something. Florida State joined the ACC, and old Bobby Bowden had a group of guys that were so much faster than everybody else for the most part that the league was like, man alive, how in the world are we ever going to beat these guys? Well, you know what? You didn't for a long, long time until 25 years ago tonight. And it's hard to believe that was 25 years ago because that was a big deal that somebody finally beat Florida State in football. And you mentioned they had won 29 straight. Yep. Well, guess what? Clemson is now at 28 straight ACC wins, and they get to go to Notre Dame to try to match that record. So we'll see what happens. There's a lot of crazy streaks at play this week, but that's hard to believe that was 25 years ago. What a night in Charlottesville.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Just an incredible ball game, by the way. And I don't know. I guess there's a chance they may show that at some point this week, somewhere along one of the platforms. You never know, right?
Good.
Thanks, by the way, to Eric McClain for spending time with us. Hannah Steelman, congratulations. Part of the NC State Women's Cross Country Championship team this past weekend in the ACC as well. And looking forward to a big show tomorrow, Tupac. We got Roddy Jones filling in. Plenty more to go. We'll get Tom Luganbill here for a Tuesday, as always. Luganbill Wednesday, I'm being told. Luganbill Wednesday. So he's even taking the day off to make sure you're here. That and Justin Fuentes, Foo Part 2 on Wednesday.
Foo Part 2. See what Coach has to say. I'm glad he's cool, though, with the impersonation. We did play that from the Hokie Hotline show the other night. So we'll have to keep an eye on that.
By the way, we wish you all the best tomorrow, Mark. Come back strong.
Well, we'll see.
Show 251. It won't be the same without you. We'll do our best. We won't put the Dodgers at number one in accounting.
It's too late.
Thanks
too late.
To Drew, Josh, Lauren, Lewis. Great show. Have a fun Monday, everybody. Stay safe.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.